Hello, I'm Pastor John Jewell, and welcome to the worship service for Stavanger Lutheran Church this 17th of May. I should mention, for those who aren't familiar with May 17th, in Norway they call it Syttende Mai, or something like that. And the significance of it is it's Constitution Day in Norway. It's something like our 4th of July here in America, so for all those of Norwegian ancestry or any of you watching in Norway, happy 17th of May. And I should mention last week was the 10th of May, which might not ring a bell for us. It should have rung a bell for us as pastors of Stavanger last week. We failed to mention that this year, 10th of May, was Mother's Day. So a happy belated Mother's Day to all of you out there. Late is not good, but better late than never. So, happy Mother's Day, and hopefully all of us remembered to say that to our own moms if we're able to do that. All right, moving right along. We have a few announcements to make of things coming up. We are assembling a reopening team for Stavanger Lutheran Church. It's getting to be that time. Where some restrictions are being eased for meeting together, and we want to be ready and to do it in a good way. So I'm in the process of assembling a team from a broad spectrum of people in our congregation, and we hope to be meeting this week to begin plans and proposals for gathering together again as a congregation. As a part of that, we're hoping to put out a survey so that many of you can give your input for the team to consider as we think about how to do this. And one of the options that we'll be considering is the possibility of a drive-in service, maybe for a week or two or more as a first step. So be watching for more information on that. We'll send out word as these plans take shape. We don't have a date yet set, but hopefully soon, and we'll let you know. All right. We do want to mention our sympathies to Faye. And at the passing of her grandson, Justin, please keep Faye and her family in your prayers as they mourn their loss. As always, if you have the opportunity, we have daily devotions posted Tuesday through Friday each week, just a few minutes of reading from Scripture and few thoughts from your pastors and head of our deacon board, Galen, that is a good way to start off the day with God's word and prayer. So avail yourself to those. Those are found on our YouTube channel and also our services, as you know, if you're watching this, are on our YouTube channel, on our website, and also you can find those on our Facebook page. And as always, you can send your offerings to Stavanger Lutheran Church at the address posted, or go to our website and press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, and that will prompt you on how to send an offering online. Those are the announcements we have for today. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Giovanni for our call to worship.
Good morning, Stavanger. Pastor Giovanni here with today's call to worship from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." End of reading. And now it is time for our opening hymn, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty.
Let us now confess our sins and hear the words of forgiveness. I invite you to follow along on the words that will be posted. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please join with me. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear these words. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us, and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, unto us all. Amen. Let us now confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please join with me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us turn to our Lord in prayer for those who have needs for which we are aware and for concerns that are on our hearts. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, when anxiety and stress rise, we forget to put others first. Help us to look for ways to show our communities that they matter to you and to us. Lord, we pray for our missionaries, Ben and Sarah, as they make choices for their children's schooling this next year. Lord, help them as they adjust to life now that their child care helper, Naomi, is back in the States. And we ask your blessings upon Emery and his seventh birthday. Lord, we pray for those who are ill or facing health concerns. Lord, we pray for healing, for strength, for encouragement, for wisdom for those giving them treatment. And we pray too, Lord, for those who mourn. We think of Faye and her family at Justin's passing. Lord, be their strength, their comfort. Their ever-present help in this time of sorrow. And Lord, we pray for all who mourn. We think of those who've lost loved ones to the coronavirus sickness and to other causes, Lord. We pray that in the midst of such grief, that people would be pointed to you in the hope that we could have in you and in the resurrection to eternal life. Lord, we pray for our nation's leaders, for our local leaders and state leaders. May you grant them wisdom, courage, strength, and Lord, all that they need as they serve you, Lord, whether they recognize you or not, you have appointed them as your servants for our good. So we pray for them as you instruct us, and we pray, Lord, for ourselves, that your church would be a bright light in the midst of dark times. Help us, Lord, to love one another and give you glory and honor in what we do and say, now and always. So we lift these things up to you, Lord, along with all the unspoken prayers of our hearts, and we pray together as you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Father, we pray now for Pastor Caleb as he brings us your word. May you anoint this preaching of your word and open our ears, our hearts, our minds to receive and believe, Lord, what you have for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, Stavanger Lutheran Church. It's good to be here. This is Caleb Larson, and I am coming to you from the church here. We're recording this on Saturday, but it will be Sunday, May 17th, by the time we gather together for worship. So I hope that your Sunday is blessed so far. And it's good to have opportunity to be able to bring the word of the Lord to you this morning. And as we consider our sermon text here this morning, I want to turn to John chapter 14. We're going to look at verses 15 through 21. And in this section, we see that Jesus is teaching his disciples on the night of the Last Supper. They are seated around the table now. Judas has left. And Jesus is encouraging them and teaching his disciples, preparing them for what is to come. And if you read throughout these chapters, 14, 15, 16, 17, you will see a lot of instruction. You'll see prayers that Jesus has for his disciples, and not only for his disciples seated there around the table, but also for you and me, as Jesus prays for the disciples who will come to believe because of their testimony. But Jesus is getting them ready because he knows that the time will soon come when he will have to depart and go back to the Father. And he wants to encourage them that yes, it will be challenging, but it will be rewarding as well. Because if he returns to the Father, then the Father will send someone to help them. And we hear about that helper in this section from John 14, verses 15 through 21. So if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn with me as we read that section together. John 14, verses 15 through 21. Let's read in the name of the Lord. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. This is the word of the Lord. Would you pause with me for a moment of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word to us. I thank you that your word still speaks. And I pray that you would open my mouth to faithfully proclaim your word this morning. Pray that you would open our eyes that we may see, that you open our ears that we may hear, that you would open our minds that we may understand, and Lord, that you would open our hearts that we may believe. And by believing, may we turn and be healed even as you have promised. We ask this now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I was to tell you that there are many burdens and troubles in this life, I don't know that that would come as a great surprise to many of you. Especially these days, we know that troubles are a reality of life. And if you've seen any internet memes about the year 2020 so far, you know that trouble seems to really be in vogue these days. It seems like no matter where you look, there is plenty of trouble abounding. It's said that misery loves company, and it seems this year it decided to throw a family reunion because it seems like everything that could go wrong is going wrong all at once. In fact, we don't even dare ask the question what else could go wrong because we're a little scared to find out. And amidst all of these troubles that we're facing today, there's one in particular that I want to address and discuss because it relates to the encouragement that Jesus is giving his disciples here. And this trouble has gotten more attention lately. It's been more in the news, and we've heard about it more, and we've taken it more seriously. But it's not a new trouble by any stretch. It's a trouble that has been here for as long as people have existed on this earth. And it's a trouble that, unfortunately, we don't always take seriously until we're right in the thick of it. And that is unfortunate because of the many troubles in this life, this one is really one that is much more pervasive and much more difficult than we imagine. And in fact, I'm even willing to say it's one of the more difficult challenges that we can possibly face in this life. And the problem or the challenge that I'm talking about is loneliness. Loneliness and isolation that comes when we are separate from others and from community. As all of us are to varying degrees separated from our normal community today, we're all a little bit isolated. And because of that, loneliness has gotten more attention. We've been focusing on it more. And I think this is good because, as I've said before, the effects of loneliness are pervasive. And this is not just true in 2020. This has been true throughout human history. They have done studies. This is scientifically verified. You can go and you can see the effects of isolation on people. It's profound. For those who are put in solitary confinement, they've done studies that even the most hardened criminals, when facing prolonged periods of social isolation, they begin to have mental breakdown. That even normal people with no previous history of mental health, when placed in situations of social isolation, they begin to see symptoms that can range from everything from depression to hallucinations. We begin to lose a part of ourselves. We are made to be social creatures. I remember reading an account of an explorer in the Amazon who would spend weeks at a time facing the trials of the forest alone. And of all of the challenges he faced, he said the hardest part by far was the loneliness. To the point where he was able and willing to make up imaginary friends for him to discuss with in order to alleviate his loneliness. Or maybe you saw the film Castaway, where Tom Hanks is stranded on a deserted island, and who becomes his friend and companion? A volleyball that he finds in a package, and he paints a little face on it. It becomes his friend, Wilson. And one of the more moving scenes of the movie, well, I won't spoil it for you. But we are social creatures, and when that is lost, there is a part of ourselves that is missing. And this is not just a scientific fact. This is not just something you can verify through study, but this is a scriptural truth as well. In fact, if you go back and you look in the scriptures, the very first thing that God says is not good comes in the very act of creation itself. Even before sin enters the world, God says it is not good that man should be alone. And he creates for Adam a helper. God knows that we are not made to be alone. That we need community, that we need a helper. And in our text today, Jesus, as he is about to be separated from them, he reminds them that they have community. He reminds them that they have a helper who is coming. And he reminds them throughout this text that even though they will soon be separated from him, that they will always have and they will always carry with them the abiding love of the Father, the abiding grace of the Son, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. And he starts with love. All of Jesus' life and ministry is motivated out of that love of God. And as he encourages them to follow after him, he encourages the disciples to walk in the same love that he had for them. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, Jesus said. The motivation for Christian life comes from the love of God. And as we respond to that love and as we follow after Him in love, obeying Him and seeking Him, we walk in the abiding love of the Father. That's a good word, abiding. It's a word that means something that lasts a long time. It means something that endures. It's a love that's not going to go away. It's a love that's not going to abandon you or betray you. God's love for us abides. And that love that God has for us has been demonstrated throughout all creation. It's demonstrated throughout the entire story of the Scriptures. And I'm willing to bet if you look back on your life that you will see time and again where that love of God for you has been demonstrated in your own life. Remember the words that Jesus spoke in John 3:16, one of the more famous passages in the Scriptures. And what does it say? For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus' entire life and ministry on this earth, His obedience to God's will, even His willingness to endure the pain of the cross, all of it was motivated because of God's deep and abiding love for you. And now as Jesus fulfills His Father's will in our text today, He promises us that the love of the Father is not only found in the sending of the Son, but as the Son returns to the Father, God's love is going to remain. Jesus may return to the Father to stand at the right hand of God, but the Father's love still abides. And so great is His love for us that when Jesus returns to the Father, He is going to send down another helper, an advocate, a counselor, so that we may not be alone. Even the Holy Spirit of God Himself as an abiding presence. So that we may be filled with the Spirit and so that we may be called the children of God. How great the love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called the children of God. And what that means for us today, because we have the abiding love of God, what it means is that we are not alone. It means that you are not alone today. And not only do you have the abiding love of the Father, but you have the abiding grace of the Son. The forgiveness and grace that Jesus poured out on the cross is with you still today. It abides. It's not going away. Why? Because Jesus Christ, in returning to the Father, stands at the right hand of God and intercedes for us and is advocating on our behalf right now at this very moment. We have an advocate and a high priest who abides. And the grace that He has poured out and the mercy that He gave us on the cross abides with us. Some of you, when you hear me talk about the unfailing, abiding love of God, may feel unworthy for that love. And it's okay if you feel that way, because the truth is we are. I'm not worthy to receive it. And yet the grace of God makes worthy that which is unworthy. The amazing, abiding grace of Jesus Christ invites us in. It says, come, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And the invitation that we have from that abiding grace is new every morning, because God's compassions never fail, and His mercy is new every morning. And so even if by some impossibility you used up all of God's grace for you today, His mercy is new and it abounds. The grace of God abides in the presence of Jesus Christ. We are not alone. Not only do we carry the love of the Father with us everywhere we go, but we carry the grace of Jesus Christ with us everywhere we go. We are not alone. We are never too far removed from His grace. We can never exhaust its amount. And because He loves us, He's poured out His Holy Spirit to be with us in times of trial, to be with us in the living and the doing of every day, to gift us and equip us for our Christian walk here on this earth. And I love, as we talk about the work of the Holy Spirit, I love that ending of the Apostles' Creed as we get to the section about what it is that the Holy Spirit is working in us and through us as it abides with us and as we abide in his presence. It says, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting. All of these we can hold fast to. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is with us. It is binding us together. It is drawing us together into the body of Christ and making us one. And that's why we can worship together this morning. Even though I'm coming to you via a digital screen, we can know that we are together today because the Holy Spirit of God that is here with me is also there with you, and it abides, and we are not alone. And that Spirit is not only with us, but it binds us together. It draws us together, men and women from every nation and tribe around this world being drawn together into the body of Christ. You are not alone today. You not only have the presence of God with you, but you carry with you everywhere you go the communion of the saints. You carry with you everywhere you go the body of Christ. And Hebrews 12 puts it this way, that everywhere we go, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. That all of those who have gone before, watching and waiting for you and for me. Why? Because apart from us, the body is not complete. And so they encourage us and they cheer us on and they are with us every step of the way. This is the promise and the power of the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. And yet, in spite of all of those things, I know that still at times, as we are isolated from others, we still feel lonely. And we still ask ourselves sometimes, God, where are you? Because we are social creatures. And sometimes we need that love made incarnate. We need it in the flesh. The same reason that Jesus came down to walk among us. Sometimes we need to gather together with other believers and we need the fellowship of the body. And sometimes circumstances don't allow us to gather together as often as we would like. And because of that, loneliness and isolation happens in this life. As you face loneliness and isolation today, I want to remind you that you are not alone. That you have the presence of God and the presence of the church with you everywhere you go. But I also want to encourage you to hear the words of Christ. That those who love him should keep his commands. And what was it that he commanded us to do? He commanded us to love one another, to care for one another, to bear one another's burdens, to gather together and fellowship together. And I know right now we can't gather together in large groups, but I pray and encourage you that if you are lonely today, reach out to a friend. That if you know a friend who is lonely or is isolated, pick up the phone and give them a call. Pick up a computer device and FaceTime them. Connect with the body of Christ. Because as we connect with one another, there is grace. Because the Holy Spirit draws us together and uses that as a catalyst for his mercy. Know today, wherever you are, whatever situation you're facing, you are not alone. God is with you. You do carry community with you everywhere you go. But I do pray that you will have opportunity in these times to make human connection as well. And I know during a time of pandemic when there is wise precautions in place, don't be frivolous. Because a part of that command to love one another is also to bear in mind the health needs of one another. But support one another during these times. Because the gift of community was created for us. And it's not good that we should be alone. So reach out. Connect with one another in whatever way we can. And remember above all that you are not alone. That you carry with you every day the abiding love of God, the abiding grace of the Son, the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. And there is nothing in all this world that can separate you from that love. You are not alone. You are loved. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have not left us as orphans in this world. We feel that way sometimes. We feel forsaken and cast off. Remind us again today of your abiding love for us, your abiding love that is so great that you would sooner forsake yourself than forsake your children. And Lord, we thank you for the evidence of that upon the cross, as you were willing to send your only Son to die so that we may live. Thank you for the death of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank you that we have an intercessor that stands at your right hand, that we have a grace and a love and a mercy and a fellowship that abounds in spite of all the trials of this life. Lord, we pray the day will soon come when you can unite us together again in the body, when we can gather here together in the sanctuary again and worship you as the assembly. But until that time comes, Lord, may you provide for us community. May you allow us to connect with one another, whether it be through an email, a phone call, a FaceTime, whether it be face-to-face visit. May we encourage one another. May we strengthen one another. May we love one another as you have commanded us. And as we love one another, may we know that we walk in your love. Father, thank you for being with us today. Bless us now and bless this congregation, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Caleb, for that message from God's Word. And now let us sing our closing hymn. Now let us sing our closing chorus, Go Now in Peace.
Go now in peace, never be afraid. God will know if you reach out.
Thank you for joining us for this worship service, and please do reach out and let us know how you're doing, and if there are any special prayer concerns or needs that we as your pastors can address, we'd like to hear from you. Let us now hear the words of benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.